This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Welcome to Orioles on the Verge. This is Zach Spedden, joined as always by Bob Phelan. Our co-host Nick Stevens is out this week. So on tonight's episode, Bob and I will be breaking down the break camp rosters for the Bowie Bay Sox, Aberdeen Ironbirds, and Delmarva Shorebirds. The three lower full season levels, AA, High A, and Low A, get started a week later in the minor league schedule than the AAA season. The AAA season now runs longer than the other three levels. But we can now have the full sense of how talented the Orioles farm system is going into 2024 when you look at these teams. And we're going to break that down tonight, club by club. And Bob, I'll just kind of start with your general thoughts. If you look at these three rosters, I think that where most of the intrigue for people who follow prospects right now is on Norfolk, because they have Jackson Holliday, they have Kobe Mayo. Their lineup is tearing the cover off the ball right now. But these other three rosters each present their own strengths going into the season.
Yeah, like I was saying on the daily this week, it's been really fun to have the Orioles back in action, Norfolk off to an amazing start. But the real meat of our season, all the minor league teams, all the affiliates all playing at the same time pretty much every night starts now until the end of September, or at least the middle of September. So this is where it gets really exciting, where we're juggling between games and trying to keep track of all the action every night. And I look at all these break camp rosters and I'm like, do I need to get four TVs in my living room? Because these are four incredibly exciting teams. You know, we'll get into more specifics, but I was surprised to see some people that made it to Bowie, some people that are starting at Aberdeen, I thought would be starting in Delmarva and vice versa. But I'm just really excited to get this going and to see, you know, who breaks out in a big way, who gets moved up, who gets promoted quickly, who struggles even. Like, I'm so into it. I couldn't be more excited for the baseball season to fully kick into gear Friday night.
And we'll start this conversation with the Bay Sox, whose roster is headlined by Samuel Basayo, currently ranked third on our top prospect list for the Orioles farm system. Most outlets have him second or third, and he's a consensus top 100 prospect in baseball. He's going to be joined in what's a pretty solid Bay Sox lineup by a handful of other solid prospects, including Frederick Bencosme and Max Wagner in the infield. You shift over the outfield, you have Judd Fabian, John Rhodes, Dylan Beavers, and Dante Williams. It feels like every year the Bay Sox get the break camp roster that has the outfield where you look at it and think, how is a ball going to drop in the grass all year? Because there's two center fielders on that roster in Fabian and Williams, and then you have two pretty solid corner guys in their own right with Beavers and Fabian, or Beavers and Rhodes. So when you look at this lineup, Bob, what jumps out at you?
The first thing, honestly, it's, I know I predicted it, but Frederick Bencosme starting at 21 years old, shortstop of the AA Bowie Bay Sox, super exciting to me. felt like he got a little bit of run in spring training. Our interview with him, obviously, I feel like the organization is very confident and comfortable with where he's at. And it's exciting to me to see the leaps that he's going to make in a much more hitter-friendly ballpark compared to Aberdeen. He's still incredibly young. We've talked about it. That was the first thing. I was happy for him that he got to start in Double-A Bowie. But really, it's all eyes on Samuel Basayo, who I think he says everything's going well with his elbow. He expects to be playing first base and catcher again by the end of the month, maybe early May. So I just want to see the damage he can do with the bat, because my goodness, the upside is enormous with him. But yeah, like you said, this lineup top to bottom is going to be really good. It's a lot of guys that ended the year in Bowie with like Fabian, Rhodes, Beavers, Williams. The entire outfield is back. Wagner is back. Colin Burns, healthy. T.T. Bowens is back. Anthony Servideo getting one last chance. Silas Ardoin. So it's just a veteran, quote-unquote, group for Bowie. But at the same time, especially a guy like Rhodes, this is his third year where he'll be in Bowie. Make or break a little bit for him, but let's just see how you've adjusted and adapted at this level and the improvements that you've made.
Yeah, I agree. It's a solid infield there for the Bay Sox when you add in guys like Burns, Bowens, and Servideo. And one thing that I think is really going to help this pitching staff is that the Bay Sox are going to have the guy who's probably going to end up getting the lion's share of playing time behind the plate, Basayo, not catch for the first month of the season, most likely. Yet you still have Silas Ardoin and Connor Pavlone behind the plate, two solid defensive catchers. And in the case of Ardoin, a guy who was showing some real progress at the plate last year. And while this has not been unsurprising when you dig into the stats with some of the Orioles hitters over the last few years, that a guy would perform better at Bowie than he does at Aberdeen, the difference last year with Ardoin, when he went from Aberdeen to Bowie, was pretty stark. Hitting the ball more consistently, the walk numbers, I believe, were better. The on-base numbers overall were better. So I know the bat is a big question mark with him, but the defense can stick. And I'm really interested to see what he does with a full season of Double A.
Yeah, absolutely. By all accounts, he's just an incredible receiving catcher, good defensive, good all around. When it comes to leading a staff, I feel like he's, it's tough when you have Samuel Basayo and Adley Rutschman as your catchers of the future. But between him and Maverick Hanley, I feel like those two guys are going to be just amazing to have as AAA guys, third, fourth catcher, where if someone goes down, even if it's just a short-term injury, these guys are completely comfortable with bringing up and being the backup catcher for the major league team. So yeah, excited for him. He walks a lot. If he can start to hit the ball with more authority, more consistently, like he did towards the end of the year, then yeah, that would be fantastic.
Turn our attention to the pitching staff now, because top to bottom, this looks like a pretty strong group. You're going to have Seth Johnson, Alex Pham, and Trace Bright in the starting rotation, among others. Three guys who look like they're poised to have big seasons. Not to mention you throw in Brandon Young and Zach Peak, who are returning from injuries. And if you've read my article in Substack yet, you know that this is the guy that I picked as a breakout candidate for the Bay Sox, Keegan Gillies, down in the bullpen. He may have broken out already, but I think he could be even better in 2024. So really solid starting rotation to begin the year for the Bay Sox. Pham penciled in right now as the opening day starter when Bowie takes on Reading on Friday night. What do you see from this group going into this season?
It's like we talked about in our roster prediction episode. I mean, this is just a loaded pitching staff. Didn't even mention Trey Miguel, Kyle Branovich, Kyle Verbitsky was happy to see him get the bump up to AA. Ryan Long. I feel like there was one more guy, Dylan Hyde, who I think is along the same lines as Keegan Gillies, is a relief pitcher breakout as well. I just think this pitching staff is going to be tantalizing to watch. Even Carlos Tavera, he's like the John Rhodes for me of the pitching staff, where it's like, you got to do it. This is the year. Like, it's now or never. So, yeah, I'm super excited to see these pitchers night in and night out. I think Pham especially, he looked amazing in his little brief glimpses that we saw in spring training. Trace Bright, that prospect game was electric. Seth Johnson, we know, has the stuff. And yeah, Young, Brnovich, and Peak, they're back from their injuries, and I'm excited to see what they've got to offer. They have a lot to prove, so it's going to be really cool. Really cool to watch.
We'll go down to Aberdeen now, and if you want to get your dose of 2023 draft picks, you're going to want to tune into Iron Birds games a lot early in the season, because several of the Orioles position players from that draft class who stood out last summer are returning to Aberdeen or debuting at Aberdeen to begin this season, including Enrique Bradfield Jr., Matthew Edsall in the outfield. Then in the infield, Matt Horvath, who ended last season with the Iron Birds, will be back. While Tavian Josenberger, who spent more time in Delmarva but picked up the pace offensively towards the end of the season, will also be part of the Iron Birds infield. The infield as a whole, looking at the guys aside from Horvath and Josenberger, you have Jalen Vasquez, a 2023 draft pick, who put together a nice run at Delmarva last summer, Carter Young, Isaac De Leon, and Ryan Higgins. In the outfield, you have Bradfield and Edsall to go along with Elio Prado and Reed Trimble, who we're hoping can stay healthy this year. And then on the catching behind the plate, you're going to have Creed Wilms leading a group that also includes Adam Retzbach and Randy Florentino. So this is a really interesting group of position players, but I'm going to start with Bradfield because we know what Bradfield's strengths are. They're apparent if you watch just a single inning of him play. He can run, and he can cover center field like nobody else. The question is the bat. How do you see that developing this year?
Hopefully pretty well. I mean, we saw him a little bit in spring training. I think you didn't see much. I mean, he is what he is. He's never going to be like a huge impact bat, not much of a power hitter. But we saw the speed, and we saw what he can do defensively. Like you said, that's going to be just on display night in and night out. I would expect him to get on base at a 400-plus clip, maybe bat. I'd love to see him bat above 260 at least. I don't know. Really, it's just get on base because that's where he's most effective. You get on base, doesn't matter how, and then work from there. He's going to score first to home on a double. He's going to steal bases. He's going to do some damage out there. Yeah, he's going to be so much fun to watch. I am going to be trying to get out to an Iron Birds game early in the season because I'm not sure how long he's going to be there. Just because he's a pretty complete player outside of the hit tool potentially so far. I think he'll be in Bowie by June, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Temper Adapt Collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I don't think he's going to be at Aberdeen that long because I have the utmost confidence that he's going to get on base consistently. And the defense, you're not really putting him in high A to develop his defense. He's beyond that, I think, at this point. The thing that I would say for anyone who's going to try to look at the stat line of Bradfield to figure out his progress is don't look at home runs. He's in a ballpark that is not a home run hitter's haven to begin with. And he himself is not a home run hitter. The big thing I think you really want to look for is just the raw extra base hit total and then the WRC plus, because that's going to tell you how he's doing as a hitter compared to the rest of the league. Now, looking at the rest of Aberdeen's lineup, what jumps out at you?
I have to say, I did not expect Josenberger to be listed as an infielder over an outfielder, but I guess it doesn't really matter because he can play a little bit of second base, but I'm sure he'll get time in outfield as well. Matt Horvath just stands out as the big time breakout with the bat. And I'm very curious to see what Creed Willems does in the beginning of the year, just because we saw how much he improved Delmarva repeating that level. I want to see if he can do something similar when it comes to Aberdeen. It's not as exciting, I feel like, as last year's draft pick laden Aberdeen team out of the break, just because I feel like for once the Orioles were pitching heavy in the draft. So Jalen Vasquez, I thought he was really impressive after the draft. I'd love to see what he can do as a late pick. Carter Young, he was having exit velocities above 100, like in the mid 100s in his brief spring training time in the prospect game. So heard some good things about his improvements over the offseason. Would love to see that continue into the season. I'm a big fan of Isaac De Leon, and again, still super young and still has the tools where these international guys can have down years, but that doesn't mean they aren't learning and improving. So curious to see what he does as well.
Yeah, our co-host Nick Stevens actually wrote about Creed Willems on our Substack back in January and pointing out, I think for good reason, why we should not write off Willems, despite the fact that he struggled last year at Aberdeen. The thing that I think makes Willems' development a little bit challenging at this point is he had not had a lot of professional experience before he went to Delmarva in 2022. He gets up there and is a primary catcher working with a really young pitching staff. He gets settled in there at the plate last year, tearing the cover off the ball, and then goes to Aberdeen. And again, as a catcher, you're going to have that double responsibility of learning how to hit at the plate and learning how to catch a higher level of baseball, which is always going to make things a little bit challenging. But for a young guy, I think there's still a lot of potential here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I didn't even mention Matthew Etzel, who another breakout potential in the outfield. We saw he had a great season after the draft. And Reed Trimble, I just am hoping that he has a healthy season. Like, stay on the field. I want to see what he can do. Happy to see him out there. I wasn't quite sure if we would ever see him again in Orioles uniform. So I'm happy that he's listed here.
Completely agree. And we'll turn now to the pitching staff, which has a really, really interesting mix of arms in it, because you have some 2023 draft picks who did not pitch at all last year, making the jump right to high A, and Jackson Baumeister, Zach Fruit, and Levi Wells. Teddy Sharkey, one of the handful of pitchers who, in fact, one of the only pitchers the Orioles took last year that did pitch last summer, goes to Aberdeen to begin this season. I don't expect him to be there very long. And then you round this group out with some guys that we have in our top 50, like Davy Cruz, Juan Nunez, Carter Baumler, some guys that we are really high on personally, like Edgar Portes and Yaki Rivera. And then one other guy that I left out of that group for the top 50, Cameron Weston, who was really good at Aberdeen last year. And Bob, you had touched on the fact that there were some guys at different levels than you were expecting them to be. Was Weston one of them? Because the numbers kind of show that he might be ready for Bowie.
Yeah, and I think, again, that's just the glut of great pitchers that are in Bowie. I think it won't be long before he's up there in Bowie. But honestly, what I was really talking about was the the trio of Davy Cruz, Moises Chace, Juan de los Santos, and Edgar Portes a little bit. I know he made it up there in Aberdeen towards the end of the year. But those first three, those are guys who I was like, they deserve to be in Aberdeen, but I feel like there's no room and they'll start back in Delmarva at least to begin the year. And I'm happy for them that they get to graduate to that next level. And in response, a guy like Luis De Leon didn't make the Aberdeen roster when I thought he might. But I think it's just, it's really cool for those guys to get that graduation. But like you said, really, the highlight is Jackson Ballmeister, Zach Fruit, Levi Wells, to jump them straight to Aberdeen. That says, I'm really intrigued, especially Wells and Fruit. Ballmeister, we thought, would probably be with the Ironbirds. But those guys to jump right there, that says a lot as far as the confidence that the organization has in them. And Juan Nunez and Carter Ballmer, too. Don't forget those two great pitching prospects. So, again, just year of the pitcher. Here it is again. Yaki Rivera, Teddy Sharkey, two electric relief prospects. Yeah, I'm excited.
Aberdeen's roster reflects the fact that I think we're in a little bit of uncharted territory this year as far as the Mike Elias era of Orioles baseball is concerned, because the Orioles had a really pitching-heavy draft last year, their first where they targeted that many pitchers under Mike Elias. And then the Orioles opted to not pitch a lot of those guys last summer coming out of college, which is not unusual around the major leagues. In fact, I would guess that that's kind of a growing trend right now when you look around the other 30 organizations. Now you have them going right to high A. With that in mind, how should fans kind of handle their expectations for a guy like Ballmeister, who has a really high ceiling, has some of the best raw stuff in this organization, but also has not pitched professionally yet and is going to have to go to a level that a lot of people that we've had on the show as players and coaches will tell us is a tough level to adjust to?
Yeah, absolutely. I think all you have to do is look back to Trace Bright in the first month last year. Look back at Cal Verbitsky in the first month last year. Two guys who ended the year incredibly strong and are well in our radar, top 30, top 50, what have you. Don't be losing your mind if Ballmeister has a little bit of a slow start. Maybe he's walking too many guys. Maybe he's getting hit a little bit hard. There will be adjustments. And I think by the end of the season, we'll know why he was a third round pick. And just be a little bit patient, especially these guys. They're jumping straight into the deep end. High A is a big jump from low A, so they're not even really going to be able to get their feet wet. Very curious to see how they do, but it's not the end of the world if there are a little bit of struggles. And also just wanted to shout out Preston Johnson making the roster and Luis Sanchez, two guys I think have battled injuries, and I'll be curious to see how they look now that they're healthy.
Yeah, they're both intriguing arms there. I agree with you. What I would add on to your point, and I fully agree with what you were just saying about Ballmeister and the other 2023 draft picks that are making this jump. The thing I would add on to that, too, is to not get too much into the highs and lows. You got to factor in that with the minor league schedule set the way that it is, where teams play each other for 6-7 games in a row, starters are going to sometimes throw twice in a series against the same team. So they might come out and dominate in that first outing. Second time out, go out and struggle, or vice versa, because the lineup makes an adjustment to them or they make an adjustment to the lineup. That's just part of the development that we've seen in the last few years as the minor leagues have shifted the schedule, and I don't expect it to be any different this season. We'll wrap up here with the Delmarva Shorebirds. And as has been the case in the last few years, the Shorebirds have a lot of really young, talented players who don't have a lot of professional experience on their break camp roster. So I'm looking at guys like Braylon Tavera, Leandro Arias, Aaron Estrada, who we are all three pretty high on, and we think that they're going to be very good, not to mention Thomas Sosa to throw a fourth in there. But we've seen some young hitters go to Delmarva in the last couple of years, struggle to make that adjustment. And speaking of that, Anderson De Los Santos, a guy who's in our top 50, hits the ball about as hard as anybody when he's locked in, but struggled a little bit at Delmarva, is going back there this year, and he's going to hope to follow the path that Daryl Hernandez did in 2022 and Creed Williams did last year, which is to build off of the ups and downs that they had at Delmarva the year before and come out of the gate hot and make their way to Aberdeen quickly. So if you're looking for someone who fits that mold this year, that could be Anderson De Los Santos. And then you look at the catchers at the Storberg, going to have Bregan Hernandez and Yudis Mordan and Cole Ehrman. Not to mention the outfield, they've got, Bob, I know one of your favorite prospects, the tool said, Jake Cunningham. I'm hoping we see Cunningham in center field a lot early this season because I want to see those five tools on display. So let's just start with Cunningham before we get into the rest of the roster. I think that it's still sort of a question mark for a lot of fans because they've heard a lot of praise about Cunningham, but his college season last year, lost a couple of weeks early on because of an ankle injury. He only played in 14 games after the draft last year. What are reasonable expectations for him coming into this?
I'll try to be reasonable. I think reasonable expectations for him are to flash those tools, maybe have a John Rhodes circa 2021 type of year where he gets off to a really fast start. I think he'll have not too many issues with low A. I would imagine he's only there because of the guys that from the draft that advanced further at the end of last year. Once, say, Bradfield's up in Bowie, I think Cunningham could easily be quickly pulled up to join them in Aberdeen. But I expect him to, honestly, I expect him to get to Double-A Bowie at some point this year and get his feet wet there by the end of the year. I expect him to hit for power, steal some bases, show off the arm and the defense. And yeah, I think the sky's the limit. I'm just hoping, like John Rhodes, he can stay healthy. I think that's a key for him. But man, this offense is going to be a must watch every night.
Yeah. And out of the group of players that are coming to Delmarva for the first time this year, Tavera, Sosa, Arias, Estrada, any other players you could throw in there, who do you think maybe has the smoothest transition?
I think it's going to be Leandro Arias.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I think, like I've mentioned, the fact that he got into a spring training game kind of early on, I feel like the way he improved from the DSL to the FCL, just his tools in general, I feel like he's going to be pretty smooth. I think he'll still get on base. He might be more of a, let's see, Frederick Benkosme type, where the hit tool is going to play at this level more than it will in Aberdeen when he eventually gets there. But I think he'll be pretty smooth, and I don't know. I think Tavera, Sosa, Estrada, and him, like, I feel like one of them is going to take off running. Two of them are going to be like normal development cycle, and one might be like the Anderson De Los Santos, where it's like you can see the potential, but it's not going to fully unlock to the next year. But as far as other sleeper breakouts, I think Anudis Mordaunt is there at catcher. I think he got a sneak peek at Delmarva late last year, and he's got serious power. And I think Angel Tejada, he played a lot in low A Delmarva last year and held his own pretty well for a guy who, again, is super young. I think he's only 20, 21 years old, and he's repeating the level as well, just like Anderson De Los Santos. I would not be surprised if he took a little bit more of a step than many are expecting. And Steven Acevedo as well, like we've shown last year, he got better and better as the year went on. I would not be surprised if he's like really knocking the cover off the ball early in the season.
Yeah, good call on Mordaunt. I think that he's going to add a real, you know, a lot of power to this lineup. For the guy that I think is going to handle Delmarva fairly easily despite his age, I'm going with Tavera, just because he has such a solid plate approach for a player as young as he is. And he really improved across the board as a hitter last year. Strikeout numbers were better. Strikeout to walk numbers were better. The power went up. And that was the one knock on him coming out of the Dominican Summer League, is and there just doesn't seem to be much power here. Well, the power came out a little bit more last year. And I think you're going to start to see that progression where each year, at least for the next couple of years, maybe 2 or 3 years, he's going to take that step forward when it comes to power. And let's talk about De Los Santos for a minute before we go over to the pitching staff. There were some ups and downs with him last year. He could have stretches where he was hitting the ball hard and he was hitting home runs, or the balls were finding gaps. He was getting extra base hits. And for all the struggles he had, his strikeout numbers weren't awful. But we know that there's a lot of ways for him to improve this year. What are some of the things you want to see him check off in his development as he goes back to Delmarva?
Mostly, it's just strike out a little bit less, walk a little bit more. He hits the ball hard. Get to it more often, more consistently. Just basically, it comes down to consistency. I just want him to see the ball better, hit it hard, which he already does, lift it a little bit more. I don't know. It's kind of like I compare it the most to Dale Hernandez, where it just more of a complete game instead of just the flashes, where I think I could see him bat in 280 with a 350 on base and approaching 500 slugging percentage early on the season before he eventually gets promoted to Aberdeen.
For the Swordbirds pitching staff, the headliner is De Leon, who goes back there despite an excellent run over the summer as the Swordbirds last year, struck out over 27% of batters he faced. The only thing that I can think for the reason that De Leon is back in Delmarva is that he's really young. He's only 20. He's not going to turn 21 for, I think, a few more weeks. And the other is that maybe they want to see the walks come down a little bit before they give him that bump up to Aberdeen. But on De Leon's best nights, he looks like he belongs at a higher level. And I just get the sense that it's only a matter of time. Just get some innings under his belt, make sure that he's locating his pitches correctly. And when there's a spot open at Aberdeen, I would have to think that he's the first guy up.
Yeah, I have to imagine. It's like you said, maybe they want to get the walks a little more under control. And look, it's not going to hurt him to start back at Delmarva. He's still insanely young. If he pitches the way he did last year, he'll probably end the year in Billy, despite starting in Delmarva. Yeah, I think this is more about just the pipeline, a little full, a little clogged. He'll start here. I expect him to be one of, if not the first pitcher promoted to Aberdeen.
Fully agree with that. And as you look at the Swordbirds pitching staff, are there any other arms that you think our listeners should be keeping their eye on?
Yes, I do. Jacob Cravey, I know he is a guy that did not pitch after the draft last year. I know there was a lot of good reports about him, so I would keep your eye on him. Jared Beck, I think, is a sleeper to develop. You know, 7 foot tall, obviously. Mechanics are hard, but I thought he flashed a lot of potential last year. So I think a guy that tall, it's probably going to take time to develop him a little bit more than other pitchers. But I think the upside is really high with him. Michael Foret, another draft pick who I don't think we saw. Very curious to see him. I know a lot of, or at least one person, is super high on Trey Gibson, an undrafted free agent last year, who is starting opening night on Friday night. So maybe that says something as well. And Blake Money is getting the start in the second game of the season for Delmarva, a guy who I thought, you know, late round draft pick, reliever out of LSU, like, okay, intriguing relief prospect. Here come the Orioles. He's starting game two. Did they pull an Alex Pham on Blake Money for his namesake alone? I hope they did. But yeah, I think it's a lot of guys here that I'm like, I don't know what to expect. Like, Gabriel Salazar is a former position player who transitioned to pitching last year, and he's made it up to Delmarva. That's cool. Here's a guy they signed off the street, Georgiani Casimiri, hell of a name. I'm very curious to see what they have there. Braxton Bragg, another intriguing arm, a different type of arm than we're used to with these draft picks. I think he's more of like a sinker baller type of guy, but Nestor German, another draft pick who we didn't see. And when we talked to, who'd we talk to after the draft?
Joe Doyle.
Yeah. When we talked to Joe Doyle after the draft, we all were throwing our hands up in the air, like no idea what the Orioles have found here. So yeah, not as much excitement as like, oh, I can't wait to see Alejandro Mendez take the mound. Not as much as like the other levels, but I do think there's plenty of intriguing arms and at least three or four of these guys who I don't have much expectations for. I'm expecting to be like, oh, okay, you have my attention.
Yeah, Money and Ferret are certainly interesting pitchers coming out of last year's draft. And then with Herman, want to see what he has to bring to the table. And Trey Gibson opening start for the Shorebirds. So we're going to get a sense out of the gate of what he brings to the table. So we'll just wrap up here with this. We've run down these three teams. You got to pick one to watch on Friday night. Who are you watching?
My honest answer is I'm be shuffling like crazy going back and forth. But if I had to pick, it's Bowie. It's Samuel Basayo, that pitching staff. I got to go with Bowie, but you really can't go wrong. Honestly, I should do Bowie, you do Aberdeen, and Nick does Delmarva, and then we'll compare notes.
Well, I know that Nick's favorite level to watch early in the year is Delmarva, so I will let him take that while I take Aberdeen. They begin their season at Jersey Shore, 6:35 start. Their starting pitcher has not been announced just yet. As I mentioned earlier, Alex Pham will get the ball for the Bay Sox when they take on Reading. And then for the Shorebirds, Trey Gibson is slated to get the start against the Fredericksburg Nationals down at Virginia Credit Union Stadium in Fredericksburg. You're not going to want to miss that. And the good news is, with the Orioles playing at 4:35 on Friday afternoon, you'll have plenty of time to wrap that up and tune in to a minor league game. So we're excited to see the full return of full season minor league baseball now that it's here with us in 2024. Bob, any final thoughts?
Yeah, get used to Aberdeen not announcing their starting pitcher, because they never do. You'll never know who's pitching till it gets really close to game time. And here we go. Perfect time to sign up for our Patreon. We will be having On the Verge dailies where we, if you don't have time to watch the games or even look at box scores and stay up to date with that, all you got to do, become a patron, get the RSS feed, and we will give you the daily update of all the stuff that happened the night before. And I think I'm excited to get into it. We'll be exhausted by it by the end of the season, but that's the joy of baseball.
You're not going to miss that over on our Patreon channel. And of course, you can find us on one or all of our many social media channels, including Facebook, Instagram, Threads, X, TikTok, and YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to YouTube. Our X channel gets a lot of traction during the season because Nick does a great job, as always, of sharing clips. But look for all of our social media channels to be active over the course of the 2024 season. For Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens, this is Zach Spedden. You've been listening to Orioles on the Verge, part of the Believe Podcast Network.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.